Huntsville's and the Huntsville. In slide 20, it seeks to elevate the investment and the fund management function, which are currently handled by the placement and contractor. And of course, for this year, to capacitate to serve accordingly to take responsibility for this core function. The further detail will be in slide 55. Slide 21 continues the theme of elevating and strengthening the entire government and control function, as well as new functions to be immediately responsive to the customer experience. The representation therefore will give you a sense of the scale and the multifaceted nature of the compensation fund. An insurance company, a pension fund, a medical aid, directly involved in medical rehabilitation, an investment and an asset management, all with a massive footprint across the country. But historically, and I must emphasize, lacking the capacity and expertise to cope with these specialized skills. Again, fundamental reform of the ICT base of the fund is the critical starting point, and that is addressed in slides 7 up to 59. On the UIF, on organizational architecture, the review and the combined implementation program. On slide 12, on that part 2, when we embarked on this process, it was with the objective that CF and UIF be transformed into service-oriented centers at the center. And remember, when embarking this process, almost 2 years ago, we wanted it to be very detailed so that we don't in the process what comes out to chop and change in the implementation. We believe that this would necessitate that they are developed into Schedule 3A standalone entities. And they must be unencumbered by the protocols. This is the roadmap, and you'll see from the detailed analysis that followed up. This is a journey which is neither easy nor quick, although quick wins are sought along the way. On slide 11, the success factors. Clearly, success is dependent on having the right resources and skills in place, as well as the correct structure of the strategy, the processes and technology. And this transformation of the two parts is a massive undertaking, which has to be done regardless of which minister is in place. Ministers come and go, but the program must continue. But it also provides massive opportunities both to enhance services to our people, but also to liberate a major public resource, the two funds for skills development, employment creation, and driving improved health and safety and disability. Again, thank you for the opportunity. That's on the last one, so, and the link to this, which is the tools of briefing. The principal matter that of seeking to set aside the overall 5 billion future and then is firmly before other husbands were ugly to other men, was spouting. And those fellows repeated the main topic on the other side. Of course, you must be familiar with the main argument. We wanted to put aside two times. I have talked relating to issues of due diligence, the irregularity and the illegality in terms of particular domains. When we talk about the transparency of this matter, which requires concurrence not from the firm, from ministry, or minister of employment and labor. My first knowledge of the king was when I read about it in the media and spent the place with him. But the secrecy was a huge red flag for me. And also the matter of rather a pure conflict of interest with the head of Twitter. Although so far he was chair of the board of Spodacy. Now, assuming that I want to work away from that, the time data is sufficient. Responding to the request for some member of copies of the Twitter forum, I should mention that the High Court on Friday, the judge supported our refusal to provide Twitter with a copy of the request. On the Twitter side, I think this was mainly some late vendors from getting the main of the case to set aside this. And from our side, we made the point that we didn't need the forensic report to make the case of a set aside of Twitter. Moreover, the details and names in the report have never been tested either in a court or through a disciplinary process. In the meantime, as the employer, there is a duty of the due process and privacy to employees, whether guilty or not, especially if innocent. So the department has been applying to maintain this position until the processes have run their course. So, colleagues, that's where we are at the moment. But once we started running that course, the DG who was acting and was left for, human documents. I've already started the process. But at this stage, we're not yet at liberty to do that. Already, so colleagues, we will, but we are at the moment where we are. Further details will be released as the court case proceeds. We're not hiding behind up to the top, but we're very careful of ventilation issues which are the subject of the court. So, colleagues, meantime, arising out of the report, there's constant management plan, and the department is overseeing it and its implementation. Minister, I want to talk about. For the state, the minister is the appeal authority. So I need to reinstate that the main focus and the purpose here of the legal action is to prevent the siphoning of this 5 billion, which is the public funds via the irregular and illegal contract, which we seek to set aside. We will also cross with pursuing this political engagement. For the measure, against employees who are found to be implicated in the regulation, irrespective of the duty. That's where we are supposing, and thank you to the members. I'll sit and listen, and then as and when questions are raised after the pitches, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Minister, for the opening remarks. I will now hand over to the DG, if the DG can also show face so that they can formally welcome the acting DG. I don't want to say you said it's an on-game job, but there is sometimes the names now could be gender neutral. So I don't know whether it's a he or a she. I'll hand over to the acting DG to show the face so that we know it's a he or a she.
Chairperson, before you do, Honorable Bosso put something on the screen that apparently the communication is not going through to SAPC.
Who? Sorry?
Honorable Bosso put on the chat that the communication is not going through to SAPC.
SAPC?
Yeah.
Chair, if I may come in, what I said is it's not streaming on YouTube.
Oh, okay. Well, we don't decide which TV channel joins us, so I was confused about the SABC. I hear now that it's the YouTube. Oh, I see Ms. Solomon is following that up. Yeah. Any update, Mr. Solomon?
Not yet, Chair, but I did pick up on that, and I've contacted the manager just to find out where they are. So I'm just awaiting a response, Chair, but we will continue to follow up with as to what's going on.
Okay.
But they were sent the link last week already.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you so much. Acting DG, we hand over to you. Also welcome you, the new acting DG of the Department of Employment and Labour.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson of the Select Committee. Indeed, I am a female, Onke Amangwevu Njo. And yes, I am the female. And yes, today I will be representing the department and the entities, and I am joined by head in the office of the acting DG, Mr. Welile Zwembo. I will then be making the presentation, and I will, if the chairperson and the honorable members, minister, allow me to take off this video, and then I will continue and start with the presentation.
Okay, welcome again, Changisa.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and greetings to you, Chair, and to all the honorable members. And a greeting to the Minister and all the colleagues that are in the platform. Minister has covered some of the areas of our briefing and provided the overview remarks at Chairperson. I will therefore not necessarily go over and cover the areas that the Minister has already done. However, I will look at emphasizing the purpose and the way forward. And Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members, the spirit in which the Department is interacting with Parliament and its committees is that of openness, transparency, and accountability. You will see Honourable Chairperson and members, that we have actually submitted the full document in terms of both the compensation fund, the UIF, the approach, the conceptualization, the full implementation approach of the whole diagnostic exercise. So we wanted you to have a full view and picture of what was done and maybe the objective of where the whole diagnostic exercise was coming from. And we also wanted to make sure that in your understanding that, we hope that through going through the report, it has captured your understanding of the concerns that you have also had for a very long time as honorable members with regards to these two funds. So I will strive as a department to always maintain and continue to provide and be available for us at all times to provide such detailed reports, and as well as progress reports and comprehensive progress reports on the work that we are embarking on. I am therefore going to go through the presentation. I will be selecting a slide that I believe are slides for emphasis in terms of today and go through them. And as well as provide details in terms of where we are and the progress that we're making. Honourable Chair, is somebody going to flag the presentation, or should I flag the presentation? Thank you. The status of the September 2023. Is actually the date and the time when the report was presented. So you would have seen that the UIF report as an entity was received around June, but the combined report on both the funds, which also came with recommendation of implementation, was finalized and handed over in September 2023. As I have said, Chairperson, I'm therefore going to go through slides where I believe we should be emphasizing and looking at. So can I request that we go to slide 10? Thank you. Slide 10 provides us with a view of what are the critical success factors in terms of, firstly, the work in the diagnostic exercise that was done, and as well as the key success factors should we implement these recommendations and this report. I would like also, Chairperson and Honourable Members, to note that this document is a living document. We are taking it from Department of Employment and Labour as executive authority to compensation fund and a UIF, that we are making changes as we see, and we are also looking at the recommendations and taking what is going to be working for the organization. I'll go through that when we go to the structures that have been recommended for implementation. So when we look at the critical success factors, the first and the immediate factors is that of looking at the setup legislative-wise of the two entities. Who are currently under the Department of Employment and Labour, with the view of Employment and Labour, making sure that those entities they actually begin a process of separating to be independent entities so that they can have governance structures and delegations that are going to be given to them, with authority, and still reporting to the accounting officer and to the executive authority of employment and labor. That process actually started. So while the diagnosis has been happening, Chairperson and members, there have been some of the processes that have begun. For example, the process of making sure that the structures at the level of a national treasury and at the Department of Employment and Labor to be now separate entities. And at the same time, looking at the governance structures, currently their boards are advisory boards and looking at having them as executive boards, but that change going hand in hand with the independence in terms of the type of the entities that they will become. Also, in terms of looking at IT and all of the identified challenges in the ITC space of the departments, we've started processes of looking currently at the services that are being provided and how they can be improved in order for service delivery to happen and to continue happening. So whilst we are looking at this report, we are equally continuing to implement and do the work according to the mandate of the entities and try as much as possible to improve the services and the systems so that when we go on a process of total change as per the recommendations, the work that is supposed to happen does not stop. So in looking at all of the areas that have been highlighted as important matters of critical success factors is also the customer experience and making sure that firstly, we change the nature and the way that UIF and compensation funds are providing the services to the people. I can confirm that there is a structure currently in the Department of Employment and Labor, which is the structure that sits the Executive Committee of Employment and Labor. From the accounting officer side, we have changed that structure with immediacy to include not only the funds, but the provinces. And so we've got an extended executive committee, which now is making sure that that which happens in provinces is in line with what happens in the head office. There is a second structure, a governance structure that provinces sit in with head office executives. Now we are extending that structure to include the labor centers and the provincial operations directors so that when we have this first planning session that is coming up on the 23rd and 22nd and 23rd of February, we begin to communicate this plan, these changes, these customer relations strategies that we need to do different. This we are doing parallel to the process as we are looking at putting up project management office that will implement the strategy and the recommendations of this diagnostic exercise. So all of these factors that are being mentioned, that make the operation efficient, that will make the work of the department more fluid in making sure that we integrate strategy, management, approach and culture. We are beginning to do that. And we are beginning to do that at the current level so that by the time we get to the stage of implementation, we are not waiting for the time of the project management office to kick off. Can we go to the next slide? And thank you. So in the coming, first maybe let me begin with the extended EXCO. We have begun to look at the vision that exists of the employment and labor, and also to look at it in terms of making sure that there is a shared vision across, and maybe emphasize it so that it begins there with that understanding of what are we looking for. So, Chairperson, what I'm saying is that we are actually having quick interventions that are in our control, that do not have to wait for a bigger project management to begin this work, by starting to inculcate the change in the culture, and as well as change some of the operational models and strategies of the two funds. We can go to the next slide. Now, if we can go to slide 21. If we go to the slides 21 to 28, this is where the report is very emphatic in terms of what is the observations that it has made and the context of those observations and what then needs to be implemented and the changes that we need to be looking at in terms of really addressing unbundling of the UIF and the compensation fund. So the work that we have begun in terms of looking at this is to firstly recognize the fact that the UIF and the compensation fund are not on their own going to be able to implement this change and these recommendations. We have therefore gone through a process of internalizing this report, but also of discussing the modality that when we put together a project management office that is independent, sitting in the accounting officer's office to help facilitate this change in the two funds, it will be much better implemented in that session, when all of us have understood what needs to happen. So we have gone through that. We've gone through with both the executive of the UIF and the compensation fund in understanding the key observations and the recommendations that are being made, so that when we make those recommendations, because they must continue to implement on the current mandate, on the current claims, on the current demands that are on the table, while a process parallel is helping the organization in implementing and looking at that. So the nature of the observations begin with the legislative policy changes and governance changes that are required, which all of the executives of both funds are in agreement and have been looking for this change for us to do in order to give the entities that independence, and as well as when we change the schedule, it enables the funds to be able to operate at a much higher level than they are currently operating. The organizational performance not aligned to individual performance, it is a very key process that we have been looking at right now to say that you know, is what we have in terms of performance and in terms of personnel really fit for purpose with what needs to be delivered, with what needs to be implemented. And there is agreement across that there are some challenges at a certain level, and therefore looking at what is being delivered and what is the performance currently, and with the system that's in place, there is actually no alignment. And therefore, these recommendations and this understanding is actually going across both funds. I think maybe the fact that the funds have gone through this process, and as you would have seen in the approach, they now understand because they have gone through it, and they obviously were interviewed at certain levels and reports and performance reports and systems analyzed. So they truly also understand where they are currently at, what needs to change, and what are the areas of intervention that we need to take with regards to organizational performance, with regards to business processes, and just with regards to the setup in terms of the capabilities and the level of executives, middle managers, and generally across the organization. Next slide. I think that members are quite familiar because they interact a great deal with stakeholders and recipients of services of the compensation fund and the UIF, which in instances has required a lot of work to be done in order for the strategies of both funds to be responsive to the citizens. And I do not think that in a long time the UIF and compensation funds have heard interaction with citizens in terms of how they perceive the services that they receive. For the first time, this work was done by PwC, and both the funds were able to see how the services are being received or not received, and how there is no inclusion of stakeholders in the work that they are doing. So it's very much inward looking, and yet it is servicing stakeholders without even having input of the stakeholders. So a lot of the work that happened with this diagnosis was actually looking at getting how effective and how efficient are the services that are being provided. And it looked at different programs also to see in terms of where are the different programs of delivery are currently positioned, defined, communicated, as well as being implemented. Next slide, please. So, in fact, if you look at all of those observations, they also talk to the system and the systems of how both the compensation fund and the UIF have missed opportunities of making sure that all of the contributors actually contribute, and making sure that the pot of the UIF that does not just grow, but it is sustained as well as with the compensation fund, in making sure that optimally all of the companies that should be contributing are contributing in order to get the services. But also the lack of available processes and systems in terms of dealing with non-compliance, which is a huge gap that was identified. But also the systems of UIF in terms of operations, how they are not protected, and how easily fraudulent activities are able to take place, and so it's been a very good analysis and this and the summary of observations that have been made by PwC. However, both the UIF and the compensation fund are able to reflect and confirm this, because several times some of these have been raised by the Auditor General in terms of systems that are not sufficient, that are not protecting the UIF. And so the accuracy of the diagnostic, I think, was more important maybe for the Department of Employment and Labour to actually validate that which we have observed. Because in the environment of public service, it is important for us to have internal and external analysis that validate that which is observed before we actually take action. So with the process of this nature having been conducted, and us being able to see that inevitably the UIF has been losing out on the resources based on the fact that we do not have integrated systems, we do not have completely efficient systems that are able to help the operations of the both funds to be efficient, but also to provide fraud buffers for both institutions. Next slide. So if I can ask that when we look at the offices, it is one of the biggest challenges that exists. And I think it is why at this point in time we are taking it as a priority that we don't just wait for the broader implementation of a process, but that we deal with the capacity and the lack of systems in terms of labor centers and provinces. There are both challenges in terms of systems, in terms of culture, in terms of responsiveness, and in terms of proper plans of dealing with emergencies at a provincial level and at local labor level. And we are currently there embarking on making sure that those processes that are in our control and that we are able to change, to make sure that we've got those strategies and plans put in place so that if anything were to happen, we have those are currently in place and they are taking place. We are also putting business continuity plans with provinces. So starting from February, we have training maybe or workshop processes that we're taking so that we can take provinces on board with regards to these findings and as well as to the interventions that we need to take with immediacy and that are in our control and that we can do. And so we are at that stage and we are implementing those, having acknowledged what are actually business continuity challenges and what are the interventions that we need to be taking in terms of making sure that there's efficiency, but also that we do not lose opportunities of growing both funds while we provide services to the clientele. Next slide. If we can go to slide 36. And slide 36 is providing us with what is the most possible structural way that we can change both funds, and what would be the best fit in terms of the nature and the type of the institutions these funds are, and how we can change them. And therefore, if we go and we look at the gaps that have been identified in all previous slides, in terms of systems, in terms of organizational capabilities, in terms of organizational setup, so the report provides us therefore with an overview of how best we can set up and change the structures. Now, Chairperson and honorable members, we would know that all of us, this is a very important process and a very sensitive process. When we begin to talk about organizational development of organizations, that we need to have very deep conversations internally in the organization for us to make that change. But maybe let us start by looking at the designs and the organizational designs that are actually being put forward and are being suggested. We can go to the broader design. Next slide. Next slide. Thank you. So if you know, we look at the UIF and at the recommended organizational setup that will assist the UIF to make any meaningful change and provide proper leadership and efficiency, governance, and as well as business continuity. You'll see that the commissioner right now would have an executive manager who is responsible for secretariat services within that office, coupled with the internal audit, and the senior manager in the office of the commissioner. Now, when we do and we place this on a mirror of how this is looking like currently at UIF and how it is being recommended, the commissioners on both sides, Compensation Fund and UIF, are now saying, yes, we have internal audits, they're at this level. And for purposes of making immediate changes, we can make those changes. However, understanding that there will be broader changes that would have to do. So, for example, where I make an example of if the internal audit and risk are reporting maybe to corporate services, they now change and they begin to
Mm-hmm.